Thank you, Samuel. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We've noted that this great chapter of faith that we have before us presents some of that cloud of witnesses that are spoken of in the 12th chapter, the first verse, that have gone before us in this life and have been a demonstration of real faith. They give us a picture of what faith looks like when it's lived out in an individual. We've noted in this chapter that their faith was not always been perfect, but that at times it needed strengthened and matured. And even, I think, as we looked at Jacob, that it was not present in those early days of his life. We looked at Abraham's household and how we saw that his faith affected not only him, but affected his household and those that came after him. In fact, even affect us today as we are called the children of Abraham as we follow in faith in our Lord. Last week, we looked at the early faith of Isaac, and then we noted with Jacob that latter faith that he had, that he had later in life, and how the Lord dealt with him very graciously, a guy that we saw in his early years was pretty much of a rascal, how the Lord brought him to himself. We saw then, and we see him even mentioned here now in Hebrews as a man of faith. Today, as we go to verse 22, in verse 22 it says, "By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." In preparing these messages, when I first went through it, because of some of the repetition, I kind of was going to skip over some of these, only making mention of them. The life of Joseph is just such a joy to read. And he's such an example and I've classified his as an example of an abiding faith. Here in this verse particularly, we see a faith that was evident there at the end of his life. But I'd like to look at Joseph, and Joseph's life spans in our Bible from Genesis 37 on up to the 50th chapter. And I'd like to just highlight some of those things of the life of Joseph before we come to the point of what Hebrews 11 refers to as his faith there at the end of his life. In the 37th chapter of Genesis, the 37th chapter, we pick up here with the things in Joseph's life that I think are shows us some things about him. And here we see Joseph in the land of Canaan. We see Jacob there. It says Jacob dwelt in the land of Canaan with his father, was a stranger in the land. And then it gives the generations of Jacob that we've seen in the previous chapter. But then here's Joseph. Joseph in the second verse is 17 years old. We see him there caring for the flock with his brethren. Joseph has 11 brothers. And it makes a statement here in the end of that verse. It says, Joseph brought unto his father their evil report, that of his brethren. Joseph, and the one thing that I want us to see from that is, I believe there as a teenager, as a 17-year-old young man, Joseph has a sensitive heart towards that, understanding that which is evil. Joseph's a teenager. He's one that some say, well, you know, just let them sow their wild oats while they're young. Many that destroy their lives in those early years of their life because of that. But Joseph reports the evil conduct of his brethren. He's sensitive to that evil that's around him. He was not going to participate in it. Now, we soon find some of the evil that is in the heart of his brothers. It doesn't say what kind of things that they were doing that Joseph reports there to his father. But he's not a part of it. He's not a part of that which was there around him. What a testimony it is today when a teen stands for righteousness. When a young man stands for that which is right before God, we think of the verse in Timothy where it says, let no man despise thy youth, but be an example of the believer. And how a young person needs to be an example in their faith, even if no one else is following the Lord. 2 Timothy, the Lord told Timothy, flee youthful lusts. And how oftentimes, as I said, young people destroy their lives because they don't have that sensitive heart understanding wickedness and evil and desiring to turn from it. I think it was Rand Hummel from the Wilds that kind of coined the phrase, and I'm not sure for sure. I think it was him that says, there's two choices on the shelf, serving God or serving self, and certainly there's a there's a great truth to that. We can choose to serve God, or we can choose to serve ourselves. I'm assuming some of this, I'm taking just from that statement, but certainly there was a sensitivity to that which was evil. When we see Joseph bringing that evil report, so I just use that as an opportunity to speak to young people and say, you know, when everybody else is doing wrong around you, you do right. You follow the Lord. It says in that passage that Jacob loved Joseph. That love that he had for Joseph brought envy into the hearts of his brethren. When we come to the 38th and the 39th chapters of Genesis, what I see in there is not just a sensitive heart, but a heart that is kept right. But a heart that is kept right. One verse that I've quoted to you many times is, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." When you look at the life of Joseph in those early years, those teen years, what happened to Joseph? If you haven't read it lately, that might be, just go home this afternoon and just start reading in the 37th chapter. And as you read through, you probably won't be able to set it down until you get way on through his life as you see the events that took place in Joseph's life. But Joseph was hated by his brothers. It was envy. They envied him. And that envy turned into hatred. And they hated him so much that when we see him in that 38th, in the 37th chapter, further on in the 37th chapter, we see them Joseph is sent out to his brothers. He's sent out to his brothers where they're keeping their flock to bring to them provision, to bring to them food and things that they need. He goes out there and he finds them. And in fact, he doesn't find them where they were first of all, and he had to look for them for a while. But he found them out there with the flocks, bringing to them needs to care for their needs. But because of the hatred in their hearts, because of that envy that burned into hatred in their hearts, they didn't keep their hearts at all. Because of that, they says, "Here's our opportunity. Let's get rid of him. Let's get rid of him." They had murder in their hearts. That's what hatred, desires for the hurt of the other person. And they wanted to get rid of him. And so they conspire that they're going to kill him. They have him. They throw him in a pit, a pit that has no water in it. Good. And his oldest brother kind of pleads for him, and he doesn't want to see that happen. As far as his being killed, and so they see a band of Ishmaelites coming through with their camels, and then they come with an idea. Oh, I know what we'll do. We'll sell him into slavery. We'll get rid of him that way. And so they sold him. They made a profit off of him, and they sold him as a slave. Later on, towards the end of the story, we find out how that Joseph begged him. He begged him, "Don't do this to me." But they bound him up. They sold him into slavery. If you remember the story, that they took the special coat that his dad had made for him, and they took some goats of blood and put over it and kind of tore it up and gave it to their dad, saying, "This, we found this coat. He must have been killed by a wild animal out here in the desert." Joseph was grossly mistreated, not because of anything wrong that he had done, How would you feel? You're doing what your dad told you to do. You're doing what you're supposed to do. You're out there taking things, giving yourself out to care for your brothers. They hate you. They seek for your destruction. They sell you as a slave to be taken away into another country. Grossly mistreated. Could you keep your heart in that? Could you keep your heart in that? Do you understand what's going on? There's no indication Joseph had any understanding what's going on, except he's being mistreated. As you follow the story, you see and part of another point is his the way that he is protected, but you find him in Potiphar's house. Here is one of the officers of Pharaoh. Joseph finds himself put there to be his servant. Joseph is getting along really well there. He is, because of his faithfulness, he is given responsibility. But then Potiphar's wife wickedly determines that she wants him to be immoral with her. Joseph flees from her. She grabs his garment and then accuses him that he tried to be immoral with her, left his coat when he was there. Falsely accused. Accused of immorality. Accused of that very thing with which he declared to her, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" He kept his heart right before God. He prospered there in Potiphar's house. It says there in Genesis 39:3 that his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So there he finds a good way there in Egypt, even as a slave. But then, again, falsely accused, his character being spoken against. And of course, then Potiphar, believing his wife, is very angry with him and has him cast into prison. So then Joseph finds himself in prison. He finds himself bound for that which he did not do. What do you do when you're falsely accused? You keep your heart? Or do you get angry? Do you get bitter? You allow bitterness to well up into your heart and you allow it to eat at you. Joseph kept his heart. Joseph kept his heart. And we find that even there in the prison, as he is cast into prison, we find that he shows himself to be an honorable man in the prison, one that can be trusted. And so the keeper of the prison has him put over other prisoners and has him there. Again, the Lord prospers him there in the prison. And then it is there that he meets the butler and the baker. He meets the butler and the baker. You know, in the midst of that, when he is there, what does he do? We see him witnessing for the Lord. We see him witnessing for the Lord. It says his master, that I read that verse, saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to... How did his... His master wasn't one that knew about the Lord God of the true God of heaven. And you know, when Joseph is there before the butler and the baker in Genesis 40 and verse 8, he says unto them, when they come to him and they've had this dream and they don't know what to do about it, Joseph says to them, don't interpretations belong to God? He lets them know that there is one. There is one, and that is the God of heaven that is able to make known some of the mysteries of life. That same thing happened when Joseph will stand before Pharaoh when finally he is brought before Pharaoh. And again, even in the midst of that, if you remember the butler and the baker, you remember that Joseph interprets their dreams. Joseph says to remember him. He says that to the butler, who he says will in 3 days be brought back. The butler gets back in his job. He forgets all about Joseph. And for 2 years, Joseph is in prison. Until finally, it is there that Joseph is called before Pharaoh, because the butler remembers when Pharaoh has a dream that nobody is able to interpret for him. Joseph says to Pharaoh, it's not in me, but God shall give to Pharaoh an answer of peace. He says, God shall speak. You know, when Joseph stands before Pharaoh, it's now been 13 years since he has come to Egypt at age 17. Because in Genesis 41:46, it says that he's now 30 when he's standing before Pharaoh. You know, though mistreated in his home and mistreated abroad, mistreated, cast into prison, forgotten, he kept his heart. He's been hated. He's been enslaved. He's been imprisoned. He's been forgotten. But he kept his heart before God. You know, he, as I mentioned, he witnessed before others. Later on, we'll see when we're coming to the end of the story, that the officer that is put under him later, he says to Joseph's brothers in Genesis 43:23, peace be unto you, and fear not your God and the God of your fathers, because he hath given you treasure in your sacks, and I had your money. Joseph's officer that is under him is talking to his brothers about God. He had a witness there in Egypt. He kept his heart right. Do you keep your heart right when things go against you? When you don't understand? You know, throughout this time, again, Joseph didn't know why he was down in Egypt. He just knew he'd been mistreated. But he kept his heart. He had a heart that was protected by God. Some other things that I see in the 39th chapter is, it's when Joseph went to Egypt, it says the Lord was with him. The 39th chapter of Genesis in the second verse, it says the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Joseph was mistreated. He was sold into slavery, but God was with him. And God caused him to be prosperous where he went. And as when he went down into Egypt, it was the Lord that was with him. It was the Lord that caused him to be looked upon well, so that he was put into Potiphar's house, that he was put over the things that Potiphar had, and Potiphar trusted him. He trusted him completely. until his wife lied about it and caused him to be thrown into prison. When he was cast into prison, in the 23rd verse, and we looked at that, of verse 39, it says, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. You know, when we don't keep our heart right before God, if we allow bitterness and things to well up within, if we don't practice that faith throughout our lives, we're blinded to what God is doing. We're blinded to the goodness of what God is doing. You know, God has said that he will watch over us, that he'll protect us, that he'll care for us. He's told us he'll never leave us or forsake us. But sometimes we get to where we center our thoughts and our minds upon that which is being wronged to us, and we don't see the goodness of God. We don't recognize what God is doing. And what did the Lord is here prospering Joseph while he's in Egypt, in Potiphar's house, prospered him even when he was in prison, and revealing to him even the interpretation there of the dreams of the baker and the butler and the interpretation there of Potiphar. God never leaves his own. He doesn't forsake them. You can suffer falsely. You may be greatly persecuted for doing right. But God has his own ways of giving his grace and keeping his own. And so there, as we see this man, I believe we see that abiding faith that is there in Joseph. As we see that abiding faith that keeps its heart right before God. That abiding faith that he will, and the next thing we'll see about Joseph is he's got a thankful heart. A thankful heart for what God has done for him. And we see that when we come to chapter 41 of Genesis. In chapter 41, and it, really we get down to the end of the chapter. Here Joseph is prospered. Joseph is there. He has two sons that are born to him. Verse 50, and unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of the famine came. Here it's before the years of the famine came, it says, and look at verse 51. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said he hath made me to forget all my toil and all my father's house. The word there, it says he, you know, he didn't forget God. Now, at this time, it is coming here the time in Joseph's prosperity. This is a time when they've had the 7 years of plenty. 7 years when Joseph has been gathering in all of the fruits of the land. There are years of plenty. He didn't forget God in his prosperity. You know, sometimes it isn't the adversity that gives us problems. Sometimes it's the prosperity that gives us problems. Sometimes it's being in prosperity that we forget God. But Joseph didn't. When he names his first son Manasseh, the word Manasseh means forgetful. The word Manasseh means forgetful. It says, Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all of my father's house. the Lord helped him, that he wasn't centering on all that mistreatment that he had back home, all those misdeeds that had come to him. He wasn't centering on all that mistreatment that he had, that wicked woman, Potiphar's wife. Boy, she really messed me up, you know. But no, he was thinking, he was thinking of what God had done for him. He says, God hath made me forget my toil and those things of my father's house. And then he comes to his second son, Ephraim. Ephraim, the name Ephraim means fruitful. And so he called him Ephraim, for he said, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. He looked at where he was presently. He says, look what God has done. Look what God has done in my life. There was no one that was higher than Joseph except Pharaoh himself in the land of Egypt. Joseph recognized the working of God in his life. He didn't allow the root of bitterness to take hold of him. Instead, we see a thankful heart to the Lord. At this point, there's no indication that he understands why the Lord has put him into Egypt, but we see he's thankful to the Lord, and he sees the place that God has, how he is fruitful there in the land. An abiding faith in God. Chapter 42, and chapter 42 of Genesis, and this is the part that really stands out in this man, and that is his forgiving heart. That is his forgiving heart. Here in Genesis 42, Joseph is busy doing his job. They're in the middle of the 7 years of famine that is there in the land of Egypt. And as you recall, they have the provision that they need there in Egypt, because God, through Joseph, had revealed that there was going to be 7 years of plenty. And then they gather in during those years of plenty and store up, because there's going to be 7 years where there's not going to be anything. Joseph is doing his job, and he's doiling out the provisions and seeing that those in the land are cared for. Well, also back home, Joseph's brothers, his father, there's famine throughout the whole land. Their food is gone, and they hear that there's food down in Egypt. And so Jacob tells his sons. It says in the first verse of 42, when Jacob saw there was corn in Egypt, he said unto his sons, why do you look one to another? I've heard there's corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. And so Joseph's 10 brothers went down to Egypt to buy. His younger brother Benjamin then stayed there at home with Jacob. Here comes 10 foreign men, 10 foreigners coming into the land of Egypt, 10 foreigners coming because they need help. They need to be able to buy food, and they've heard that it's down there. And there is Joseph. And there is Joseph. It says there that in the 7th verse of chapter 41, Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but he made himself strange unto them. He didn't They didn't know that it was their brother. They had no idea that it was their brother. That was the furthest thing from their mind. Joseph is there. He's speaking in the language of the Egyptians. He's there in his robe and garb and all. And now, of course, it's been 17 years since they have seen him. But Joseph remembers his dream. Joseph remembers his dream. In the 9th verse, it says, "And Joseph remembered the dreams that he dreamed of them." He remembered that. Remember, one of the things they hated him for was the Lord had revealed to him that his brothers would be bowing down before him, and even his father, mother as well, would bow down before him, and they hated him for that. That vision comes back to Joseph as they're there, bowing down before him. He says, "Wow." And he doesn't immediately show himself to them. In fact, in that 7th verse, he says he spoke roughly to him. He made himself strange unto them. He said, "Why do you come?" And he's speaking to an interpreter. He has an interpreter that's speaking to them as he's speaking the Egyptian language. They said, "Well, we've come from the land of Canaan to buy food." As he's speaking roughly to them, he says, "You're just here. You're just spies. You're just coming to spy out the barrenness of our land. That's why you're here." Then he hears them speak. He hears them speak of their guilt. You know, it's interesting. When you go to the 21st verse, look at verse 21 and 22. "They said one to another, 'We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us. We would not hear, therefore is this distress come upon us.' And Reuben answered them, saying, 'Didn't I say unto you, don't sin against the child? And ye would not hear, therefore, behold, also his blood is required.'" They don't know they're before Joseph. They don't know Joseph understands what they're saying. It says they had no idea that he could understand what they were saying. You know, Joseph has kept his heart, the one that was mistreated. But the ones that were mistreating, they've had on their conscience for 20 years. And when this thing comes up and they find that, we're in trouble down here in Egypt, and what are we doing here? It's God bringing his judgment upon us. The guilt that rests upon a conscience that has been evil. God is revealing to them, and they are revealing to Joseph the guilt that is on their conscience. The guilt that is on their conscience. Well, Joseph in the 50th chapter, if we were to jump on up, there's a number of things that go on in that chapter, and you just have to go and read through it again. Even if you read it a year ago, you'll enjoy reading it again. But well, before we go on to the 50th chapter, Joseph recognized that it was the hand of God. In the 45th chapter, that's where I want you to go, the 45th chapter, when Joseph reveals himself to them, he says, "Don't be grieved or angry with yourselves," verse 5, "that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath famine been in the land, and there are 5 more years in which there shall be neither earing or harvest. And this, but God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me here, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Joseph didn't say, God delivered you into my hand, now I'll get you. No, he said, now it's all coming together to Joseph. A man of faith, a man that's had an abiding faith, it comes together to him. Now I know why I'm here. Hallelujah. Now I know why I'm here. All these years. But look, God has me here to feed my family. He sees the greatness of God. Amen. You know, in the 50th chapter, I was going to take you there. Now Joseph's father, there's so much in between here, but Joseph, of course, he's revealed himself to his brothers. He's let them know what is why God has done that. But now, in the 50th chapter, Jacob is dead. Father is dead. And the sons, Joseph's brothers, are thinking, boy, you know what? Joseph was good to us for Dad's sake, but now he's going to get us. But now he's going to get us. And so when we come to the 50th chapter, you see Joseph expressing his heart. And here in the 18th verse of the 50th chapter, his brothers fall down before his face. And they said, oh, we're your servants. And before that, they have said, we did you evil. We're here to serve you. It's like, don't kill us. Look at the 19th verse. Joseph said, don't fear, for am I in the place of God? Am I in the place of God? The Lord says, vengeance is mine, didn't he? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I'll repay. We don't need to take vengeance. Joseph says, I'm not taking vengeance on you. Am I in the place of God? And look at the 20th verse. You thought evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now, therefore, don't fear. Fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. A forgiving heart. One that has an abiding faith. That's practicing that faith, has a heart of forgiveness. Joseph, he forgave his brothers. He says, I know you meant it for evil to me, but God meant it for good. Well, Joseph has been in Egypt for 93 years. We find that he dies at the age of 110 years old. Joseph had those first 17 years in the land, a land that God was going to give to them. But he's been in Egypt all this time. Does he still believe the promises of God, that promises that were to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob? And that's certainly where we come when we come to this passage in Hebrews 11, 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. In Genesis chapter 50, you go to verse 24. It says, and Joseph said to his brethren, I die. God will surely visit you, and he'll bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from thence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Joseph believed God. That goes back to the verse that we saw at the first of the chapter. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It was based upon God's word. Those things that he looked forward to, the substance was God's word. It is the evidence of things not seen. He had the confidence that it was going to take place. He spent 93 years in Egypt. But he says, carry my bones. You take my bones when God brings you into the land. In fact, before that, when his father died, he asked leave that we're going to go bury my father's bones up there in the land of Canaan. And they did. Joseph believed God. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence, the confidence of things not seen. He had not seen it take place, but he says it's going to take place because God promised it. His confidence and his faith was in God. Yes, Hebrews 11 speaks of that faith that Joseph had at the end. And as through his life, we see that he had an abiding faith. He kept his heart right before God. He believed God. He saw the protection of God. And though he didn't understand that for a good part of this first years that he was in Egypt, he saw that God knew what he was doing. He saw that all those things that happened to him, God meant it for good, and God meant it for the preservation, and even for the salvation of the wicked brothers that would have to come to their own faith as well. Well, the faith of Joseph, I trust it's been a blessing, and it will continue to be a blessing to you. And it'll be an example of living the Christian life, living your faith day by day, moment by moment, keeping your heart right before God, even in the midst of the worst of circumstances, shall we pray. Thank you, Lord God, for your word. How we thank you, Lord, for your sovereignty. How we thank you, Lord, for your almighty power. We thank you, God, for your care for your own. Lord, we've seen this in the scriptures. We have promises that you've given to us. Lord, help us to live with an abiding faith in thee. Lord, that even as we would pass on, unless you should come first, Lord, that we would have that kind of a faith that you could have spoken of us as you have of Joseph. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.